We're taking our Bible reading this evening again from the New Testament and from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 1. We'll commence our reading at the verse 13. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. And the apostle under inspiration says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We'll end our reading there, and again God will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Can we just bow together for a moment's prayer? Our loving God and Heavenly Father, again we give you thanks for this opportunity this evening of meeting in thy house for the preaching of the gospel. Realize that apart from thy presence, thy help, and thy power, then we gather in vain. But our Father, we rejoice in thy great promise that even where two or three would gather together in your name, there you would be in the midst. We believe that you are here and that to bless us. And as we come to thy precious word and the gospel for this evening, we pray for help from thy sanctuary, and that you'll speak to all of our hearts, young and old, that each one might understand clearly what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away their sin. Help us to rightly divide the scriptures, to lift up the Savior. Well, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're taking as our text the words that are recorded by the apostle in verse 16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The theme of our message is very simple: not ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul comes to us in the pages of the Bible as a great champion of the Christian faith. He, of course, had a wonderful conversion by the side of the Damascus Road that altered his life for time and for eternity. And the man who used to persecute God's people and cast them into prison by false accusation, and tried to drive out of existence the gospel of Christ, that same man is now standing up, defending the gospel, and proclaiming it to all that will listen. Now, you and I live in difficult days. In fact, you and I live in dangerous days. And we have become accustomed to bad news, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and tsunamis, and, of course, death on a massive scale. And I think it's always good and it's always refreshing to come to such verses of Scripture as this that focus in particular upon good news, because that's what the gospel is and that's what the gospel means. It means good news. That good news of Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. He says, "I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I remember on one occasion walking down a street in a certain town, and I saw a minister of another denomination that I personally knew. And I thought for some reason he didn't want to see me. And so he turned his back to me, and he started to gaze into a jeweler's window. But I thought that was strange. And I went over to him and I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, John, is everything all right? And he turned round to face me in a flood of tears. And he said, last night I was preaching the gospel and going, standing at the door, shaking hands with people. A woman going out smashed her fist in my face and said, how dare you tell me that I'm a sinner and I need that gospel? Friend, this is what Ulster needs tonight. Not a better system of education, not a better environment for people to be brought up in. People need to hear the gospel. It is life-changing. It is a transforming message. It transformed the life of the Apostle Paul. It has transformed the life of millions of people down through the course of human history. And if you're here tonight and not saved, this same gospel can transform and revolutionize your life also. After Paul's powerful conversion, he says, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. And he declares, I am not ashamed of that gospel. How could he be? It was that gospel that saved his soul. There's many people in Ulster tonight. They know they need to be saved. Yet they are embarrassed. They are ashamed to identify with Christ. Ashamed of this glorious gospel. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now there's reasons why Paul said that. And first of all, he was not ashamed of the gospel because of its wonderful person. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, the message that the apostle was now proclaiming was not some idea or theory or philosophy of man. In Galatians chapter 1 and the verses 11 and 12, he says this of the gospel. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, it was Christ who revealed the message to the apostle, and it is Christ who is revealed in the message of the gospel. The Bible tells us through, again, the words of Paul in Romans chapter 13 and the verse 4 concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, he had nothing to say about himself, not whatsoever. This all focuses in upon Christ. What I want to say to you tonight, we're not trying to turn anyone to a denomination. I've been over 47 years in God's work, and I never asked one person to join the Free Church. But I most certainly have exhorted people to come to Christ and to come with urgency and come now, for now is the day of salvation. Not ashamed of the gospel because of its wonderful person. And thinking of that person, the Bible tells us that he is the sinless person. In other words, God manifest in the flesh. Paul says of him, he knew no sin. Peter says of him that he did no sin. Pilate, standing before that bloodthirsty mob who ganged up to crucify Christ, said, I find no fault in this man. There are some people, and they will point the finger, the accusing finger, in the face of God's people. But I'm always on the side of God's people. God's people are not a perfect people, but they are a forgiven people. They are a saved people. And they are a safe people, in that they are bound for glory. In Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse 26. It says of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is holy, He is harmless, He is undefiled, He's separate from sinners, He is made higher than the heavens. He could stand before the hostile leaders of His day and say, which of you can convince me of sin? And there wasn't one of them could bring an honest condemnation against Him. Every charge that was laid against Christ was a false charge. For He knew no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Therefore tonight, I want to say that there is no valid reason why any individual should bar out of their life the Lord Jesus. You couldn't live physically without Him, because in Him you live and you move and you have your being, and you cannot live spiritually without Him. Many people will say just things that pop into their head. Oh, I'm all right without Christ. Many have said, I can live without Christ, and tragically they do. They live without Christ. Many will say, and I can die without Christ, and tragically many die without Christ. But my friend, you may live and you may die without Christ, but there is one thing you will not do without Christ. You will not go to heaven. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And on another occasion He said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now you and I live in a so-called multicultural society, and the Muslim's going to get his way to heaven, and the Jew's going to get his way to heaven, and the Catholic's going to get his way to heaven, and the Protestant's going to get his way to heaven. It's all a load of nonsense. There is but one way, and Jesus said, I am that way. Friend, are you on that way? He not only declares a sinless person, but Christ is the suffering person. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, we read these words, But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. He says in Isaiah, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. He was numbered with the transgressors. He poured out His soul unto death, even the death of the cross. You and I will never, the side of eternity, understand what it meant for Him, the Holy One, to take away our sin. The hymn writer puts it this way and says that none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere He found the sheep that was lost, but He gave His life for me. Hark! The hymn writer says, I hear the dull blow of a hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree. 5 bleeding wounds He bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive Him, oh, forgive, He cried. Let not that ransomed sinner die. This is the Christ who died for you. Wasn't ashamed of the gospel because of its person, a sinless person, a suffering person, and also a silent person. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7 that He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Now, if somebody wrongs you and me, we are quick to go in to defend ourselves and to raise our voice in protest. But Jesus, every charge against Him was false. Yet He opened not His mouth. He had come to this world for a purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. Bible says He had set His face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, and there was no turning aside. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on 3 occasions He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But that was not a prayer to evade Calvary. That was to evade the oppression of the devil, because the devil tried to kill Jesus on three occasions before he got to the cross. But Jesus never tried to evade Calvary. He was born to die. And therefore he suffered in silence. And not a single word of protest fell from those sacred lips. And more than that, he was a sufficient person. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ cries from the cross, finished, in our King James Version, which is the right version. It says it is finished, but on the original, it simply says finished. And the way of salvation was complete. The price was fully paid. There was now a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And after making one sacrifice for sin forever, the Bible says, he sat down at the right hand of God. A man or a woman sits down when their day's work is done. And Jesus, in the act of sitting down, declared the work of redemption complete and final. Finished, he cried from the cross. That declares every priest in the priesthood tonight, redundant and out of a job, who stand daily offering sacrifices for sin that can never take away sin. This man offered one sacrifice for sin forever and sat down. A sufficient Savior. You see, all the thunderbolts of God's wrath that should have fallen on you and should have fallen on me fell on Jesus. He took the punishment that was due our sin. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin. He was made sin for us. In other words, all the sins of all his people were laid on him, and he bore them in his body to the cross. A sufficient Savior. He was God's answer to man's great sin question. Little wonder Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of that wonderful person. But he was not ashamed of the gospel because of its wonderful power. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Now that word power is very, very expressive. It literally means dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God. It is explosive in its nature. It can revolutionize, transform, change people's lives. It did so with the Apostle Paul. He who was a persecutor is now a preacher. Such was the dynamite of God in his salvation. You and I live in a day when human beings wield great power. That power, sadly, all too often is harnessed to destruction. But God manifests his superior power in the salvation of sinners. We can think of the strength of that gospel. And John, or Charles Wesley rather, he declares it in his hymn when he says, he breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Over in Hebrews 9 and 27, it says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. And that word uttermost means forever. Wherefore, he is able to save forever. Friend, if you're not saved, you do not know what you are missing. Because there's not only its strength here, and what strength there is in that mighty message that Paul is declaring. But then he speaks about its scope. For he says, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now there's many people will come to you and say, but I believe. But my friend, have you ever received? Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that to as many as receive him, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God. That is the right and the authority. So this gospel is to those who believe. When the Philippian jailer had shut up Paul and Silas, had beaten them and cast them into prison, God turned his world upside down, as God can do. Maybe you're here without Christ and you're comfortable in your sin. God could turn your world upside down. And God turned that man's world upside down. And of course, he was going to commit suicide. He thought that Paul and all the prisoners would have fled, but they hadn't. And so he comes out. Paul said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And he falls down before them and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe." Friend, what must you do to be saved tonight? You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to make amends in your life. Why, just receive all that Christ had provided for you at the place called Calvary. And then the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You and I live in a world when many people, though they would not like to admit it, are controlled and dominated and fettered and chained and mastered by sin and by sinful habits. Yet this gospel is so powerful that God's grace is greater than any sin or any sin habit in your life. And that was witnessed in the life of Paul. That has been witnessed in the life of multitudes down through the course of time. But then also there is the wonderful privilege of the gospel. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Note the words, "not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation." Now, some, of course, misunderstand what the Bible means about salvation. I mean, some people will say, "Aren't we all Christians?" In fact, one of the chaplains in the prison just said to me 2 weeks ago, he says, "I have a problem." He said, "There's people come in here and they tell us." Think about this, he says. "They tell us we need to be saved. We need to become Christians." He says, "What do they think we are?" Well, I said, "Are you saved?" You see, many people will accept, "Well, if I'm not a Jew and I'm not a Muslim and I'm not a Hindu, then I must be a Christian." That's not what Paul was speaking about at all. And that is emphasized in the privilege of the gospel. And the first privilege of the gospel is this, men and women: pardon from sin. Now, the Bible reminds us, one and all without exception, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there's not a righteous man upon the earth, and that from the womb we go astray, speaking lies. We're born with our back toward God and our face toward a Christless eternity, and as fast as our feet can take us, we run down the road of destruction without a serious thought in our heart about life or about death, about heaven or about hell, living for the moment, not thinking about eternity. And that sin of unrepented of, rise up like a mountain that will crush you to hell. One of the great privileges of God's salvation in your life is pardon from sin, because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Friend, have you had your sins blotted out, pardoned by the Almighty? It's one of the great privileges that God's people enjoy, pardon from sin. Secondly, peace with God. Again, we read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, and the apostle is speaking and he says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. That's an amazing statement. The peace of God, it passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ. In Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Friend, do you have peace about your past? That it's all under the blood. Peace about your present, if this moment you went out to meet your Maker. Peace about your future, where that will be. And you can. Oh, you can. Many people, of course, say, we can't know. We don't know. Coming across the Isle of Skye one night, fairly late, called in at a shop to get something to eat. And the woman behind the counter, hearing my accent, she says, what brings you here? And I said, actually, I was up preaching a few services. And so I said, are you a Christian yourself? Well, she says, I hope so. Now I said, what do you mean by that? Well, she says, I go to the church service at 9 o'clock in the morning to the Gaelic service. I go at 11:30 again to the English service. I go to the prayer meeting every week. But she says, I'll not know until I get into eternity whether I'm saved or not. I said, what do you make of this scripture? The Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And I said, friend, you need to know. Many things that you and I don't need to know. But there is one thing you and I need to know beyond the shadow of all doubt, that we are right with God. Do you know that, friend? Can you look back and say, yeah, it was there where I met with God. My sins were pardoned. I found his peace. Peace now that my sins are under the blood. They're all blotted out. And the record's clear. And then another great privilege of the gospel is the prospect of eternity, prospect of glory. It's all part of God's salvation. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of its glorious person, its mighty power, that it changed his life and assured him of glory. Many people can testify to the transforming power of that gospel. Can you do that tonight? Read with interest the story of Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was a pathetic alcoholic, crippled, chained and fettered by that habit. It caused great problems in his home, because after his week's work, before he ever reached home, he had most of his wages drank. Caused his wife and children basically to live in poverty. His wife had to secretly hide away a few pounds just for special needs. One day, their little boy fell seriously ill. A doctor was called, and he assured the mother there was not much hope. But he prescribed medication. And so she asked her husband to go down to the chemist and get the medication. Then they had to pay for it, and she gave him a few pounds that she'd secretly stored away. He never went to the chemist shop. He went to the pub. He got hopelessly drunk. And by the time he had sobered up, his little boy was dead. It broke his heart. But he was fettered by this sin. And neighbors were kind, and one dear neighbor, she came and she bought a lovely pair of red shoes and put them on the child's feet in the coffin. And the father went up and he wept bitterly over the dead body of his child. Then he spotted the red shoes. And he succumbed to the temptation and slipped the shoes of the child's feet and put them in his pocket and went out and sold them and got stoiciously drunk with the money. When he sobered up, the funeral was over. Missed the funeral of his child. And again that rent his heart in 1,000 pieces. And after some time walking down a street, he heard this singing, and it was a mission hall where a gospel meeting was taking place. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And the people were singing out that hymn with all their might, and it attracted him. And he opened the door and he walked in and he sat down in the back seat. And that night God wonderfully saved him. His life was transformed. Mel Trotter went out and started a rescue shop for alcoholics and down and outs and gathered them in and saw many of them saved. Before he died, he had opened 50 such shops to reach men with the gospel. Such is the power of the gospel. It can change our life, give us pardon from sin, peace with God, and the wonderful prospect of glory. It amazes sometimes, and I take interest in it, the way people express themselves. And there is an area in this province, and when someone of their loved one dies, they would ring me up and say, "My husband's gone away," referring to their death, or "My wife's got away." In a place in Africa, there are Christians of a certain community who say of their loved ones when they die, not that they have departed, not that they've got away, they will say they have arrived. And that's a wonderful thought. When our loved ones die, and there's pain and earthly partings, but they have arrived. Little wonder the hymn writer says, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." Friend, will you be there? Are you saved by this gospel? If not, you can this night. Now, many people, that which keeps them in their sin is the fear of man. What people might think, what people might say. And the fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. But let me say to you, if you're not saved, let nothing and let nobody take you to hell. Give your life to Christ and do it now. Isn't that what Eisenhower said across radio to Germany during the war? He said, hide your wives and your families in the safest place and do it now, for there's danger and death and delay. And friend, there's danger and there's death and delay. You need to flee to Christ. You need to do it now. Because of its urgency. And friend, when you do that, then you will stand up and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. A man rang me, a young man. He'd been to all the church services, he'd been to all the prayer meetings. And he rang me one night and he says, Mr. Moore, I need to see you. Well, I said, sure, just come to the manse. No, no, he says, I can't come to the manse. I says, why can't you come to the manse? He says, I'll explain that when I see you. Well, I says, look, I'll meet you in the minister's room in the church. No, no, he says, I can't go to the church. Well, I said, you tell me where you want to meet me. He says, I'll meet you in the town car park. I said, that's fine. We'll meet in the town car park. And so he got out of his car and he got into my car and he just broke down in a flood of tears. He said, I didn't want to go to the manse. I didn't want to go to the church. In case somebody'd meet me. But he says, everybody thinks I'm a Christian. He says, I go to all the church services. I go to the youth fellowship. I take part in prayer and the prayer meetings. But he says, I have never been saved. That night after seeking the Lord, he got out of the car and he stretched himself. He says, I want the whole world to know. Now that I'm saved, where before he was afraid. Friends, step out on the promise. Get under the blood. Be saved, be safe, and be sure. Then when death comes, as Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And may God bring you to himself if you are not saved. And those of us who are in Christ, let's enjoy the wonderful privileges of the gospel that has saved our soul. Let's bow together in prayer for just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that indeed we can say with the Apostle, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We thank you that it was that gospel that opened our eyes and brought us to faith in Christ. And Lord, should there be any tonight who as yet don't know thee, that their heart might be opened by thy Holy Spirit, drawn to seek thy face. Lord, speak to all our hearts, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.